Sunday school good?
Awesome.
Good, good. Okay, long before humanity thought of God, God was thinking of humanity. And with this, he was making provisions for what? Our salvation. This happened from the very beginning. So there is no one that will ever be too sinful to make it to heaven if they will accept his plan of redemption, because there is room and there is forgiveness for everybody. Okay? So, when we think about this in our life, then we have to understand that everybody, let's go along with your little children's story, everybody needs to accept God's invitation. Everybody. We don't make it to heaven without that. And that invitation comes through faith, believing in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us through the crucifixion and the resurrection. So everyone that has ever been brought into this world has been invited to live eternally with God. That was an invitation that was given. Sadly, there are many who will not accept that invitation. And it's up to us to be able to help people to understand what that invitation is all about. So this is just like anything else that goes on in our life as a believer. Flimsy excuses will not be considered by God. Okay? When we stand before God one of these days, they will not be considered, because we have to learn to be obedient to the Word of God. Rejecting the call of the Holy Spirit on our life is being disobedient to God. So why do people refuse God's invitation and take out any excuse? Okay? No excuses. So why does people refuse to accept God's invitation? It's simply because they just don't want it. That's what it all boils down to. When, if we don't want to do something, we just what? We don't do it. So that's what it's all about. So mankind would rather have things of the world, whether it's possessions, whether it's status of prestige, whether it's health, whether it's wealth, no matter what it is, mankind would rather have that than to lay up their eternal treasures in heaven with God, with the hope of an eternal life with Christ. We would rather do things in the world than we would spend time with the Lord. So in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, he gives us an example of these of not doing things with excuse. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, here's what he says. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, meaning in God's ways, and see. Ask for the old path, because this is the good way, and then walk in it, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But hear what they said. When Jeremiah told them this, here's what the people said. They said, we're not going to do it. We are not going to walk therein. It was just as simple as that. So, in order for us to experience the things that God wants us to experience in our life, then we have to follow some kind of direction. We have to follow the instruction that comes from Him, through Him, and it is His Word that reveals unto us. It reveals unto us those instructions, but His Word reveals unto us our unwillingness to be in the relationship with God that He wants us to be. It reveals unto us our disobedience to His Word. So we've got to learn to follow direction, because God has a plan that will lead us into eternal life if we'll learn to follow the instruction that He has given unto us. So this means everybody needs to accept this invitation. The only way we're going to get to heaven is by accepting the invitation that God has given unto us. So why is it then, as believers, why is it that oftentimes we begin to experience in our life, we begin to experience these periods of times that we drift away from His direction in our life? Why is that happening? And it's because we're not staying in a close enough relationship with the Lord. We lose focus on our relationship with God. What does that to us in our life? Many, many things keep us from focusing on God in our life. So as believers, we've got to learn to continue to receive or be a part of the mercy and the grace that God has in store for us. So that means we desperately need direction. When we do not accept direction, then we are not focusing on the things that God wants us to focus on. Because without divine direction, we are going to face divine consequences of the things that we're doing that aren't pleasing unto Him. So we've got to respond to God's direction in our life. We've got to respond to every invitation. You know, a lot of people, when they got up this morning, they didn't respond to God's divine invitation to go to church. And where are they at? They're sitting at home with some kind of excuse why they couldn't make it. Okay? We do this every day in our life. We do it when God has somebody for us to go witness to. We do it when God has something for us to do, when God wants us to be a part of something. God gives us the divine direction, but we don't seem to want to walk in that goodness and that righteousness of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple examples this morning that helps us to live a life that is completely and totally surrendered unto God. So let's start in the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we're going to go to verse 7. We're going to start with verse 7. And here's what he says. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him that come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lower room. But when thou art bidden, here's what he says, when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room. That when, see, humility, as Christians, we believers, we must learn humility. So he says that when he hath bidden thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, move up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever will exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So because of sinfulness, because of sin in our life, because of sinfulness in the world, our attitude is always to be about ourselves. It's all about me. If I don't want to do this, if I want to do this, it's all about me. But that's not, God doesn't want us to be all about ourselves. And we do this because we want to be successful. We want to achieve some kind of worldly recognition. We want to say, I am my own person, and this is why sometimes we do the things that we do. So we have to learn that God is the one. If you want to do anything in your life, if you want to be exalted in anything in your life, if you want to be lifted up in anything in your life, if you want to be blessed with anything in your life, God's the one that's got to do it. So he's the one we've got to glorify. He's the one that we've got to answer to in our life. So when he says it's time to do this or it's time to do that and we don't want to do it, then we need to answer to God. We need to let him know so that he can help us through those situations and those things in our life. So worldly pride, listen to this, worldly pride will only bring worldly humiliation. All right? That's what worldly pride does. Spiritual humility, on the other hand, will bring godly honor. So everything that we do, if we do it for the Lord, it will bring godly honor. Everything that God has in store for us to do, we ought to want to willingly do it in our life. We ought to want to serve God in any way that He has for us to serve Him. We ought to want to study the Bible. We ought to want to pray. We ought to want to get out and do whatever it is that He has for us to do in our life. These are things that we should be doing, and these are things that will help us to be a greater example to those around us. So we must think of ourselves less. Okay, did you get that? We must learn to think of ourselves less. We must learn to think of others more than ourselves, and we must learn to think of God most of all. Because when we begin to think of God most of all, then our relationship with God will begin to grow to a place that He wants us to be in our life. So I'm going to read you two or three passages of scriptures that talk about worldly pride and the effects of worldly pride. The things that worldly pride hinders us in our relationship with God. And I'm going to read these out of the book of Proverbs. So if you'll turn back with me to Proverbs, the first one I'm going to read is in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, and here's what it says. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Pride bringeth forth shame. Now I can tell you that people, when they're sitting around and they don't want to do the work that God wants them to do, even though they might not show it, I can tell you they feel the shame in their life. As a believer, you feel it. Don't tell me you don't feel it. You feel it in your life. And later on you say, I should have done what God wanted me to do. When pride cometh, shame comes right along with it, because God is going to allow you to understand the things that you're missing out on, the things that He wants you to be a part of in your life. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, here's what it said. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, or an arrogant spirit, or a conceited spirit, however you want to say it, a haughty spirit before a fall. Prideful, any time that worldly pridefulness creeps up in our life, then we're going to fall from grace. It's going to hinder our relationship with God. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, here's what it says. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now, you might say, well, you're talking about worldly pride, and I don't really have worldly pride. But any time that we're not following after the... and our relationship with God, anytime we're not in that relationship with God where He wants us to be, it's worldly pride put us there. It's because we're too proud to say no to this person or no to that person, or we're too proud to put the worldly fear away in our life. It's pride. It's worldly pride that does that. And He says worldly pride will bring us to a point in our life, a man's pride shall bring him down low. But He says if we are lifted up in the honor and in the glory of God, He said, then we shall uphold the humble in our spirit. So let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Are we the person, and I can tell you right now we are, so I'll just answer it, but I'll go ahead and ask the question. Are we the person that chooses to exalt ourselves with our own wants? No, this will come. Or anything that's going on in our life, with our own wants, our own needs, and our own feelings. And sure we are. Because when we miss out on whatever it is that God has in store for us in our life, we are the person that chose something over that in our life. We either wanted something, we either felt needy about something, or we just had some kind of emotional feeling that we just can't be there, Lord, for whatever reason it is. But I can tell you, the next time you pray to God, I hope He answers your prayer by saying, well, because of what I want, or because of what I need, or just because of what I'm feeling today, I don't think I can answer that prayer for you. And just what do you think your reaction would be? Okay? So we ask ourselves that. Are we the one who denies our own self and follows after God and do what His purpose is in our life? Or are we the one that chooses to put ourselves above Him and everything else in our life? In Luke 9:23, let me read you something Christ said. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. Here's what He says. And He said to them all, if any man, now pay attention to this, if any man will come after me, meaning after Christ, here's what He says we got to do. We have to let him deny himself. Okay? All of them, doesn't matter, all those worldly emotions, all whatever it is, you got to deny that. He says, the only way you can follow after me, He says, is if you deny yourself, take up my cross daily and follow me. Okay? We got to put away all that worldly nonsense. And we all have that worldly nonsense in our life. Things that we like to do. But God says, when I've got something for you to do, that you've got to put that aside. You've got to put that away, and you've got to follow after the things that I have in store for you in your life. So what does it really mean then for a believer to become a true disciple in God? Well, most people say, well, I'm born again. I'm a true disciple in God. No, you're a true disciple when by faith believing you accepted that saving grace, but now you begin to work in that saving grace. You begin to actively take a part in those things that God has in store for us in our life in Christ. So to become a true disciple, He says you've got to take up your cross daily. I mean, that doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If there's something going on and I want you to be there, I want you to do it, then you've got to take my strength and my power, and you've got to persevere through it. And then will you find that when you begin to glorify the Lord, then He'll begin to bless you in many ways in your life. And we do this by walking daily through the cross of Christ. So in Matthew, here's another thing that He said. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, here's what He says. For whosoever will save his own life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Whosoever will lose his own life, let me say that again. Whosoever will save his own life shall lose it. Now we're going to talk about in a spiritual sense in the believer. So how do I save my own life? How do I do? I do that because there's things that I want in my life that Christ doesn't want me to have in my life, but because I want them so bad, now it's going to eat away at my relationship with God, because I just want that so much in my life. So He says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose that, whosoever will put that stuff away, whosoever will turn away from all those excuses, all those things that are going on, and follow me, He said, then they're going to find what it is that I have in store for him in my life. So the world does not understand this kind of life. Only the believer can understand a life of surrendering, a life of suffering, a life of sacrifice. And most of the time we can't understand it, because when we have to surrender, when we have to suffer, when we have to sacrifice, when we have to fall into service in the Lord, it's, Lord, I've got too many other things to do than to do that today. But he says, as a believer, we begin to see what a life of surrendering is all about. We begin to see what a life of suffering is all about. A life of sacrifice. A life of service unto the Lord. Humanity doesn't understand this, so they give their life in the Lord up because of it. But we understand that. And once we begin God begins to make a way of that in our life, then he says, you'll not lose it. He said, you'll keep that, because now it's something that you are saving in your life. It's something that you are doing that I want you to do, and you'll feel much better for it as you do those things in your life. Back in the book of Luke, chapter 14, here's what he says. Chapter 14, starting with verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Hear that? Began to make it just reminds me of in today's time, we have an excuse for everything. Anything and everything that God had, we have an excuse for it. He said, with one consent, they all got together and made an excuse. And the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Even those people made excuses. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that at my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We have this misinterpretation in our life that anything and everything that we feel gives us some kind of honor and glory, then we feel like that's a spiritual blessing from God. Oh, when I walked out, when I put my money in the offering plate today, or I sung in the choir today, or I done this, or I stopped down the road. So and so was out along the road, and I stopped and talked to him. You're sadly mistaken. That is not a spiritual blessing from God. That is something that we tried to do to make ourselves feel better for all the things that we miss out on that God wants us to do in our life. So we've got to learn that these invitations, so to speak, see, we consider God gives us an invitation, and we think we've got to give out invitations as well. But we got to understand that those invitations, so to speak, that we give out, or those things that we think we do out of the goodness of our heart, there's no honor in that. Okay? There's just no, because there is no spiritual value in those things in our life, because we're doing them through our own self-righteousness. So when we allow ourselves then to be swept away by this pridefulness, by our own pridefulness, then we're going to see that now our focus is more on the things of the world than it is on glorifying God. So everything that we do in our life, this is how this should work. Everything that we do in our life should be an expression, not of our excuses that we make because we're considering something else to be more important than God, but they should be an expression of what God is doing in and through our life. So that means we should be interested in what God wants in our life. Be obedient to the truth of His Word. And God says, for this reason, then He'll take us beyond those things that we're feeling, those things that we think are the excuses. That God wants us to pull us up out of that. He wants us to rise above that in our life, because we know better than that. We have the wisdom, we have the knowledge. God's trying to give us the understanding to bring us into a place in our life that it not only glorifies Him, but it lifts us up, so that everything, every invitation that He gives unto us, no matter what it is that He asks for us to do, we accept that invitation with gladness in our heart. We don't try to find a reason to get out of it or to shy away from it in our life. In the book of Romans chapter 3, I'm just going to read you a couple verses down through this chapter real quick. Chapter 3, starting with verse 9. He says, what then? Are we better than they? We should ask ourselves that question from time to time. Or do we think we're good enough that we just don't need that? Are we better than they? He says, no. In no wise we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that everybody is under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So now, let's just back up and catch verse 3 real quick. He says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make their faith of God without effect? And he says, God forbid that would ever happen. That we would convince ourselves of that in our life. So let's jump down to verse 23, and here's what he says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then over in verse 31, he says, do we then make void the law of faith or the word of God? God forbid we establish the law. And when he says that, it means we should be demonstrating by example our obedience to the Word of God. If you want somebody else to do something in your life, then demonstrate to them by example what they need to be doing. It don't do no good to say you ought to do this and you ought to do that if you're not doing it yourself. We need to be a demonstration of what God has for us to do in our life. God Himself is going to honor the ones that do not seek honor from the world. Okay? If you're seeking it from the world, that's where you're going to get it. So, since God has chosen all of us, as everybody that's a believer, we're a chosen servant. And the things that He asks for us to do is to show sinners the way to salvation. Now, since you don't know when you come in contact with somebody in this world, since you don't know if they're a sinner or not, then that means everybody that you come in contact with, you're going to do what? You're going to show them the way of salvation. Everybody. Well, I don't have to be my religion, my church self around those people, because they know I'm a good Christian person. How do you know they know you're a good Christian person? We should show everybody what that is all about. We should make every effort that God gives us in our life to take the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ to everybody that we come in contact with. It doesn't matter who we think they are or what we think they are. We still should be doing that in our life. So and it shouldn't surprise us, and it does every day when something happens out there in the world. We're just, Lord, how could those people, they claim to be good Christian people, they claim to be believe, how can those people just make excuse after excuse after excuse? That shouldn't surprise you. Because we at times in our life do the same thing. Okay? So that shouldn't be a surprise to us. And we shouldn't be looking for that in our life. We should be looking for God's mercy and for His grace. We should be looking for that desire, the same desire that God has, that all of mankind will accept that saving grace and then come to the knowledge of what that saving grace is all about in their life. So this is when we begin to think about this in our life, then we're going to learn what it means to live a life that is surrendered unto God and not surrendered unto our own wants, our own needs, our own beliefs, our own crazy excuses that we have in our life. It's so easy to, we don't even have to surrender ourselves to fall under those categories. But God wants us to learn what it means to live a life that is surrendered unto Him. And a life that is surrendered unto Him means putting those things aside. Means stepping up when God wants us to step up, and means doing those things that God wants us to do, whether we think that we feel like we should be doing it or doing it or not. If God wants us to do it, He's going to give us the strength, the power, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the ability to go forth and to do it in our life. We need to be living a life that is totally and completely surrendered unto God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that You give us the opportunities in our life to surrender ourselves to Thee, Lord, and to do those things that are pleasing unto Thee. And we just pray, Lord, that we take those opportunities and we put aside, Lord, all the petty, selfish excuses, Heavenly Father, that we have, and that we follow after those things that You have in store for us in our life. Lord, we want to be a bright and a shining light for You, Heavenly Father. We want to be an example, Lord, to the world around us. And we pray, Lord, that You help us to use the ability that You have given unto us to do so, Heavenly Father, and not follow after our emotional feelings of the world, Heavenly Father. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we've gathered together, Lord, that it was for a reason, to have a willing desire to serve Thee better, Heavenly Father. And as we go out into the world from this day to day, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, to continue to have that in our life, so that we might always let our light so shine before others that they would see Your good works within each and every one of us. Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Thursday evening, Bible study. Now we'll be here this Thursday at 6 o'clock, and we're on...
labor.
Yeah, we did work, we're doing labor, and we're going to learn the difference between what? Work and labor. Okay? Yep. It was work, labor, and patience. We better say patience for one by itself. So we're going to learn a little bit about labor. And it'll be a labor of what? A labor of love for the Lord. Okay, so come out, have a good time. We had a good turnout last week. Thank the Lord for that. We even had some new people last week. So we're very thankful for that. So come out, 6 o'clock, join in on Bible study.
Somebody drove by and said, boy, that church was...
Yes.
There's one seat left.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we had a good turnout. Yeah. And that's probably just because they knew there would be homemade cookies there. I don't know, but if that's what it takes, we'll have homemade cookies. All right, anything else?
Blues thing will be...
Okay. Yes.
Janice said they're having a sing down there at Pleasant Hill on the 20th.
It's,
yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
It's Mike Marsh's daughter and some of her friends.
Oh, okay.
They had that back in high school. and then they kind of went their separate ways, and two or three of them are back together again now, and they're got two or three places that they're singing around. So yeah, they'll be down. I took a picture of it. The end of the month sometime they'll be down Pleasant Hill.
And then the guy from Israel, he'll be over Big Isaac.
Yes, if you guys want to, that would be a good thing. It'll be on one of our Thursday night Bible studies. He's a Christian Jew, and he's been working in Israel, so he'll be at our Bible study, and we'll be doing it at the Big Isaac Church, and he'll be giving a testimony, and he'll be talking about the things that are going on in Israel, and so it should be really interesting. Okay, what else?
When is that?
I think it's a third Saturday.
It's a Thursday. I'll find out.
Is it
in July?
Yes.
I have the date written down somewhere.
Lou and them would
be here, wouldn't it? So we can miss Thursday, basically.
Maybe. I don't know if Lou and them will
They come in on Thursday.
Yeah, it might be one of the when they'll be here, I hope. Because I'm sure they'd enjoy hearing him speak.
Yeah, I got Lou's. Lou's should be at
Christmas. Oh, that'll be the week after Lou. Yeah. Well, we'll have him on the iPad and on the phone, so they'll be able to watch him if they want. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? We'll stand and praise the Lord three times. Let you go enjoy the beautiful day. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining in on the phone.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, have a good day.